Good morning, listeners. I have a special treat for you this morning. Last night, Stephen Rombaum, world famous, stopped by the booth after his talk, and sadly we already had some scheduled content, but I was able to sit down with him, and we had a discussion. And I recorded it, now I'm going to play it for you. I hope everybody slept okay. Or if you didn't sleep, at least you're feeling okay. Anyway, it's only about a little less than 30 minutes of content, but I still think it's important that it's here for you to listen to. Stephen Rombaum has been coming to Hope since, I believe, the first one, and has been a Stop it. Turn them off. Do you want it on?
Sure.
Do you want it on? Keep talking.
Pick it on. There we go.
There. So Stephen Rombaum came by, and I recorded some content. I'm hoping the audio quality is pretty good. We didn't record it in the booth because the booth was already in use, but I have confidence that it probably sounds pretty okay.
We'll see. Time will tell.
Yeah. I'm going to hit play.
Do it. Do it right now.
All right. This is Beaches with Radio Statler. This is some pre-recorded content coming to you from the mezzanine at the Hope Conference. I'm here with Mr. Rombaum, who's just finished his talk.
Downtown Manhattan.
Beautiful downtown.
And I'm very impressed that you pronounced my name correctly. In Texas, I'm Ram Bam, as in thank you, ma'am.
Oh, man.
Well, at least it rhymes, but sadly, Rombaum is Rombaum.
No, it's not sadly. It's a good name.
It's a good name.
It's a good name, yeah.
So.
What can I tell you?
Well, so I was actually not able to actually listen to your talk this year. So you've been doing Privacy is Dead for a very long time now, in different installments. What did you talk about this time?
This was a completely different talk. I did a little bit of Privacy is Dead. I covered some of the, I won't say advancements in the field, because, you know, the more privacy that's taken away is certainly not an advancement. I covered some of the latest developments. I talked quite a bit about Facebook and what Facebook is trying to do. The new wrinkle now is that what Facebook and Google are doing and Microsoft and Apple is starting to congeal into what in China is called a social credit score. People are going to start using your Facebook profile and your Google information and so on and so forth to decide your credit worthiness, to decide your character, you know, should they rent you an apartment and so on.
I think that has some very shocking ramifications. I mean, how do you necessarily know if you're going and searching for something? How do you know what's actually about you and what stuff is something that's been faked? And it's very easy to grab a domain and spread some shit and make it look like you're a terrible person, even if you're not.
Look, that's exactly the point. You don't know what you don't know. I use a ridiculous example, but a real one, to talk about how widely divergent information can be used to tell things about you. For example, when Volkswagen started selling their Beetles again, they determined that people who own cats and eat chunky peanut butter, if the person owned a cat and ate chunky peanut butter, they would be four times as likely to buy a Volkswagen Beetle. I mean, the amount of research they must have done to determine that is astounding. But the point is, information, completely off-the-wall information, can be used to extrapolate out to amazing things. Facebook is developing, through facial recognition, a social credit score so that if you walk into a store, Facebook's facial recognition will say if you're a good customer, if you're trustworthy, if you should be given discounts, if you should be given certain offers. I mean, Facebook is going places where they shouldn't go. And all of the information, all of the photos, all of the posts, all of the friends, everything that you contributed to Facebook is now going to be used against you, so to speak.
Yeah, and that's really awful because, I mean, you're trusting somebody that, you know, you're using a service and you trust that they're not going to misuse that, and that's definitely going to be a misuse.
Look, Facebook is already at the point, they're so much at the point they've patented it, they can tell if you're going to have a dramatic incident in your life. Are you going to have a health issue? Is a loved one going to die? You know, are you going to lose your job? So on and so forth. They actually predict that now, and they do it pretty effectively. You know, you don't know what your information is going to be used for. DNA is now being used in the United Kingdom to match roommates, whether you're compatible with a roommate. That's true. Well, DNA now can be used to make a reliable picture of somebody.
That's insane. That's crazy.
Look, I'm writing a book on this topic. What I did here in 3 hours, which is considered, of course, a very long Facebook talk, is only a tiny, tiny percentage of what we do in a 40-hour open source intelligence class. By the way, Fraternal Order of Investigators is putting on a 4-day seminar right in this hotel, right in the same room, and that's where the open source intelligence class day 2 is going to be taught. You know, there's just too much to cover. I mean, sadly, and I'm not using that word loosely. I'm incredibly, you know, sad about it. This is going to be the last hope I'm ever going to participate in. Hope has become too politicized, too anti-American, especially when you look at some of the leadership, ridiculously anti-Israel. I mean, to the point where it's borderline anti-Semitic. I don't care about the right-wing stuff, and I don't care about political opinions. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, and I got to tell you, the people on the right and the people on the left in this country both suck right now. Everybody has a legitimate cause to complain, but I think that for hope to not be in all regards at all times intellectually honest is not something I can fly air cover for. I'm not going to be the human shield for anti-Semitism, for example. I'm not going to do it. To have Snowden speak to Hope with uncritical analysis of everything he says, not asking him why he revealed what we're doing to keep tracks on North Korea, why he revealed the techniques that we're using to go after narcotics traffickers. How does he think that that's to the benefit of the world in general? North Korea is a concentration camp with a flag. Narcotics traffickers, by definition, need to be surveilled and pursued. Nobody asked him about that. They brought in Daniel Ellsberg, who's a decent human being, and they didn't allow any critical questions. Now this year we have Chelsea Manning, and they allowed him to put forth a narrative like he was this wonderful whistleblower acting on everyone's, you know, on behalf of everyone's best interest. Didn't talk about that he was having an emotional meltdown. Didn't talk about that he was angry at the Army, that they were so concerned about him hurting himself, they took the bolt out of his rifle, that he got into physical altercations with other soldiers. They made him out as if he's a hacker. They made him out as if he's a freedom of information warrior, and neither of those things are true. You know, this is one of the greatest organizations that I've ever had the pleasure of participating in. And I'm on the boards of other organizations, and I'm the founder of Fraternal Order of Investigations with some other people. But I got to tell you, this organization, which is substantially left-wing, in my opinion, is one of the most important and one of the finest organizations I ever participated in, with some of the best people in the world. I've got dozens of very close friends in this organization. And I think the fact that politics were allowed to infect this organization and its events and skew critical thinking and intellectual honesty, man, I think it's a crying shame. I mean, the world terribly, urgently needs hackers right now. It needs people who are going to cut through all the BS and talk about, you know, what happened with the DNCC and Guccifer 2.0 and Assange and everything that caused us to have Trump as a president. And more important, everything that caused us to only have two terrible choices, which were Trump and Hillary Clinton. I mean, the world needs hackers. The world needs people who can penetrate black boxes, who can stop bad algorithms from taking effect, algorithms that decide without human interaction if somebody goes to jail, if somebody can rent an apartment, if somebody's a member of a gang, and usually wrongly. You know, this is just a critically important and needed organization, and I think it's being killed.
So if you think that it's being killed,
not Radio Statler, by the way. Let me tell you, my opinion is, if it's not on Radio Statler, I don't know if it's true or not. You are my go-to news entity.
You're aware that we only exist for 3 days every other year, and we don't really do news, right?
Correct. Which is why. Don't make me do the math, but 700 plus days every 2 years, I make no important decisions. Okay, I'm being a smartass. What do you expect?
I appreciate the compliment.
I'm being a smartass because you guys are wonderful in that you give all your guests a big red cup full of liquor, which is a very clever interviewing technique. As a professional investigator, I wish I could do this.
Really?
Right, laugh, laugh. Folks, I know you're listening to this, but you couldn't tell how he was biting his lip there.
Yeah, sadly, we don't have much video on the radio.
Not much video on the radio.
Yeah.
I tell you, that's got to be like a country western song, right?
I mean, if it isn't, it probably is now.
Not much video on the radio, yep.
Since you have so many friends that are in, like, related to Hope and all that, if you feel it's becoming too politicized, is that something that you've been talking about with them to kind of, like, expressing your opinion?
I have, and I was debating what I was going to do. I was debating whether I was going to talk at Hope. I also almost didn't talk at Hope because of a difficult family situation. But, you know, I was saying, should I do it? And everybody was saying, don't be ridiculous. I mean, we accept, you know, whatever you say, we're going to let you say it. We're not going to censor you. And I've, by the way, you know, I've spoken at every single Hope since the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, I love these people. I really do. I think they're smart. I walk into a Hope conference, my IQ goes up 20 points. They're profoundly decent people. There's some knuckleheads. There's some knuckleheads, but I got to tell you, a lot smaller percentage than most other organizations. Everybody here is whiplash smart. They're inquisitive. They want to know the truth. They want access to raw, unfiltered information. And this is one of the few groups that can make that happen. You don't want to release information? You don't want to tell the truth about something? No problem. We'll just frickin' hack it. And there's a desperate need for that right now. So to have an environment now, I mean, I got to tell you, you can't imagine how big a supporter I am. You know, I'll tell you something you may not know. I was arrested at the 2010 Hope Conference. The FBI actually came in and took me off the stage right before I could talk and arrested me. False charges. False charges. I'm still a detective. I still have no criminal record. Of the six FBI agents that were involved in that overall investigation, one of them, Michael Grimm, went to prison. Four of them had to retire, and I won't name them because they were kind of lower-level people who followed the bosses. And one of them, Ted Cacioppo, who was a pretty bad guy, They transferred him to the scuba unit. And it was really funny. I got a phone call, and my friend says, "You know, Ted Cacioppo swims with the fishes." And I said, "Oh my God, he got killed?" They said, "No, we transferred him to the scuba unit." And you know the expression, "He swims with the fishes." It was a good line. So I got to tell you, I survived it fine. But let me tell you what Hope did. Hope, because I was arrested at the Hope Conference, said we are not declaring the end of the Hope Conference. And 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, when all the charges were dropped and everything was fine, they took the entire auditorium at the Stevens Institute of Technology and they packed it. They packed it. It was not just standing room only. People were hanging from the balconies. The dean of students was there. People came from 15, 20 states. And Eric Emanuel introduced me and he said, "And now for the last seminar of Hope." And I gave my talk, and I tell you, man, I was surrounded by love and by support, the best people in the world, the best people in the world. They weren't gonna deal with an FBI false arrest. I mean, first of all, they knew me. They knew I didn't break the law. But they didn't care. They just backed me. They had my back. Everybody. And I want to tell you, the FBI hated that. And I kept coming back anyway. So when I came back in 2012... the day before the Hope Conference, the FBI filed a complaint against me with the New York State Licensing Authority to try to take away my PI license and my gun permit because they were so mad. The day before the Hope Conference in 2012, and of course, kept my license, kept my weapons permit, kept everything. 2014, they tried to institute a charge against me impersonating an FBI agent 2 days before the Hope Conference. That was dropped the following Monday. They hate that I support Hope and that Hope supports me because they think, you know, I'm giving you guys secret law enforcement information. The sad thing is that nothing that I talk about at Hope isn't open source.
Yeah, that's right. Pretty much everything you talk about is about open source intelligence, right?
There's nothing that I talk about that's confidential. Now, I will tell you, I did get a hold of Chelsea Manning's file, but in a legal way, and I got a hold of the court transcript, and that's how I know that Chelsea Manning, despite what she reinvented herself as today, at the trial, said, "I really apologize for this. Releasing those documents, essentially declassifying those documents, was above my pay grade, and I shouldn't have done it. You know, they should have been looked at. I'm sorry if I endangered anybody's life." Chelsea Manning told the truth then and is now reinventing herself as a warrior for free information and a whistleblower, and I think all of that's bullcrap. And the audience at Hope, and that's not why I'm leaving. It was just the last straw. But the audience at Hope should have gotten a less reverential environment. People should have been able to get up. Now, you know, I got up and I asked the question and everybody came to me and said, "You were right asking that question." I got up and I said, "Miss Manning, as you know, or maybe you don't know, but I'm sure you've heard it, even if people in the room haven't. The understanding is that there is now a sealed warrant against Julian Assange because either willingly or inadvertently, you provided information that allowed for him to be charged with conspiracy for you releasing classified information." And Chelsea Manning, if you were down there, said, I can't talk about that. You know, I can't re-release information. I can be charged again." I said, "No, you can't. The statute of limitations has expired. It's been 8 years. "Well, I can't talk about it." I said, is there any truth to it? And actually at that moment, people in the audience started booing Chelsea Manning. And I'll tell you, the reason I think they booed was not because they were against Chelsea Manning, there's a lot of people that come to Hope that want to stick it to the man, you know? And Chelsea Manning really stuck it to the U.S. So for that reason, I think they like Chelsea Manning. I think they booed because they realized that they weren't, that it was not the hacker ethos that she was brought in under. And the hacker ethos is, in my opinion, a lot of other people's opinion, I hope yours too, something critical, some information is concealed from you, you go, you get that information, you ferret it out, you make sure you understand it, and you disseminate it. That's not what happened with Manning. That's not what happened with how Assange was treated. That's not what happened with Snowden. So those things bothered me. But the previously non-existent political orientation, that's what pushed me over the edge. I'm very proud to be Jewish, and I support Israel. And I won't work with a group of people who think it's okay to fly a balloon of a pig with a Jewish star and a dollar sign on it. I mean, that's flat-out anti-Semitism. You can't make excuses for that. But people have in this organization. And it breaks my damn heart. It breaks my heart. I love the people here. I've got so many friends here. Listen, Alex Urbelis, who's in Hope from the very beginning and was a speaker right before me. He's house counsel for my organization. He and I work cases together. We put bad people in jail together all the time. Bernie, when I'm working, I just was working a rape homicide in Philly. Bernie and I got together. I mean, I'd be kind of grumpy because of the case I'm working. Not a fun case. And he would take me out for, we'd sit at Chinese restaurant 1 o'clock in the morning, eating food, drinking beer, having a great time. You know, so many people from this, Frankie, Big Frank, your director of security, he's my sergeant at arms. You know, I love these people. But what's happening to Hope, it's bad news. It's bad news. And I hope to God the people who are in a position to make a decision say, you know what? We're kind of mad at Rambam, but he's right. We are going to totally divorce all politics from the Hope Conference. You know, the funny thing is, 2600, the magazine, zero politics. Zero politics. It's politics free. But Hope, I mean, they let Snowden come in uncritically. They let Manning come in uncritically. They condemn Assange for, frankly, being the best hacker out of the three of them. He released information that revealed what the Democratic Party was doing and allowed Democrats to vote in an informed way, to see how Hillary's people were screwing Bernie, to see how Hillary was being given the debate questions in advance. I mean, don't you think voters deserve to know that?
Really? You got to think about that?
Yeah, a little bit, actually. Because when you have leaks that get released by a third party, it ends up being, there's a way to make any body of information say something,
absolutely,
tell a story.
That's so what we talked about today. You're absolutely right.
So I'm not sure if... Is Assange making a story? Is he giving us all the information?
No, it was all legit. And the DNCC and the DNC and Podesta, who was hacked, all admitted these were legit and criminal cases were opened. And it was terrible stuff. It was how they were submarining Bernie left, right, and center. By the way, I'm not a big Bernie Sanders supporter. I mean, I tell everybody, if you want to vote for a grouchy Jewish guy, vote for my dad, you know, a grouchy old Jewish guy. But of the three, Snowden and Manning and Assange, Assange was the one who was closest to the hacker ethos. What pissed everybody off, and by the way, correctly so, is he only released the stuff that screwed the Democrats. He didn't release all the Republican stuff. Now, I don't know if there was Republican stuff.
Yeah, I've definitely heard rumors that there was. I'm not sure if I've really seen anything from a source that I would necessarily trust. But
he is an accused rapist who wouldn't face his charges. That's pretty much all you got to tell me. You say somebody's an accused rapist who is dodging his charges, I don't care what else he does or how he does it. I'm not a big fan of rapists. So I'm not a fan of Assange. But I will tell you, to criticize... Hope loved Assange before those DNCC releases. Hope loved Assange. Read the 2600s and read, listen to what people said about Assange. But as soon as he did something that hurt the Democrats and benefited Trump, you know, even if only 50 people voted for Trump as a result, that's what pissed people off. And that's not honest. That's not honest. A guy gets information, he releases it, and it's stuff that people really have a right to know, as opposed to all of the stuff like NSA hacking tools that were thrown out. Like, you'd go, okay, come and get your nuclear weapon. I mean, this was deadly stuff that was released. And by the way, the bad guys are now using it to hack you and me. I mean, imagine being a script kiddie and you're handed the script by the NSA.
I'm actually not super familiar with the Snowden NSA leaks, but I thought that was more informational with regards to government surveillance programs and not so much like the shadow brokers.
He released everything. He released everything. I don't know. By the way, I don't know who released all of the software programs. A lot of that probably was not Snowden. But Snowden released stuff. How do you release tactics used against drug dealers? Do you know right now in America, more people are dying of drug overdoses than car crashes?
Yeah.
We're having 40, 50,000 people a year. And by the way, again, we need hackers. This stuff is being ordered through the internet, shipped based on internet arrangements. 90% of the fentanyl, which is the deadliest stuff that's coming in, is coming from China through internet connections.
We're going to have to wrap this up a little bit. We're running out of time. But so I guess if I had one last question to really ask you, so you're not happy with where Hope is going. Why are you removing your voice as opposed to staying and trying to add a different opinion?
When one of the Hope leaders retweeted Roger Waters slamming Israel, falsely slamming Israel, and stating that if somebody has an Israeli passport, they should never be given a job, you should never be friends with somebody with an Israeli passport, I direct messaged that 2600 and Hope leader. And I said, how can you say that? This guy is an anti-Semite. Do you support him having a balloon of a giant pink pig with a Jewish star and a dollar sign on it at all of his concerts? And the guy emailed me back one word answer, absolutely. And then about an hour later emailed me, and you know what? A lot of Jews probably feel that way also. I can't be here. Listen, I'm known as a Jewish activist. I'm known as an activist in general. But I'm known as a big supporter of Israel and a very proud Jew. And I don't want anybody to be able to say, oh, this stuff is all right. This must all be legit. This must all be correct about Israel. Otherwise, Rambam wouldn't be at the Hope Conference. I can't stay here. I can't be the human shield for this type of stuff. And honestly, breaks my heart. It really does.
I think that's pretty understandable. Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate you coming down.
More liquor?
Yeah, we can top up your cup before you leave. All right, thank you.
All right, that was Stephen Rambam right after his talk last night.
That was a great ending.
Yeah, it's a beautiful ending. He came down, and we were having dinner, pretty much. And I gave somebody $5 and ended up there. They brought back pizza, which is great. I love pizza. And then Mr. Rambam comes in. He's like, oh, hey, you have pizza. And I was like, So pretty much I had like a cheese slice and a pepperoni slice, and I was like, oh, here, you can have one of my pieces. So I just did like a slice of pepperoni pizza. Until 2 a.m. or 1 a.m. or some shit, where we went out to the diner. To TikTok diner.
Where you wouldn't stop trying to fight me for some weird reason.
I was not trying to fight you. You were trying to fight me.
We have very different memories of the event, and we'll just have to agree to disagree.
I don't think that we have to agree to disagree.
So, today is Sunday.
It is Sunday.
I think our content officially starts at noon.
No, you're wrong.
Well, it's starting right now, but like...
No, but like scheduled content.
The schedule's kind of open.
No, it's not. 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. we're supposed to have the Radio Geek podcast.
Was I looking at the wrong schedule?
I have no idea where you were looking at, dude.
On our schedule, on the Google Calendar.
I'm looking at the Google Calendar right now.
Maybe I just... My eyes weren't working.
Probably.
I thought I was going to be in here by myself till noon.
No.
Like the world had ended?
No. Last man broadcasting.
Yeah.
It's like the world's
like
ending.
I'm in a bank vault.
I don't know where anybody's gone, but I think this might be my last hand. Coming to you live from the mezzanine. If anybody's out there, send help. And pizza. And also beer. You know what I'm a little sad about?
Yeah.
I have those shine cherries over there.
Uh-huh.
And I brought them, and it was a full bottle, and it's still, or a full mason jar, because that's how these are packed.
I had one this morning.
Well, like...
Because I wanted to see what they tasted like, because they look like delicious
They taste pretty good, cherries. Too, right?
Oh, they taste great. I did not expect the moonshininess of them to be as moonshiny as it is.
I mean, it's still moonshine.
Are you saying we should, like, eat one of those cherries?
We can. I'm just disappointed that it's, like, the last man standing, So I bought four bottles of liquor.
More people have drank the Malort than have sampled the cherries.
Yeah.
That's disappointing. Considering how bad the Malort is.
Yeah, I know, right? If you have a choice.
Right?
Why would you choose Malort? But, yeah, we got like...
Could you imagine getting so drunk on Malort that you have to throw up? I think I'd rather die.
Vomiting would make you want to vomit.
Right? Like, know how when you're like really drunk... And you're throwing up, but there's that little part of you behind your head that's like, yeah, this is awesome. Like, I'm having fun.
No.
Malort. Always.
I've literally never vomited.
Whenever
so
I'm like, when I'm so drunk that I'm invisible and just like lying in my own vomit and dry heaving, there's still a little part of me behind that's like, yeah, you do it.
What the fuck, dude?
But with Malort, I can't see that little part of my brain doing that. I think it'd just be angry at me. Like, you did it again.
Why did you do that? What did you do? But yeah, so like I got four bottles of stuff on the way up. We got like a bottle of vodka.
Was that the Bitches vodka?
No.
Oh, someone brought Bitches vodka.
It's the Tanqueray Silver or whatever it was.
Isn't Tanqueray gin?
No. I mean, they make lots of things.
I had no idea. Yeah. I thought it was Tanqueray.
Gin is essentially just
vodka
flavor
with juniper berries.
And other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. Tech Darko was on an adventure, and he brought me back a gin that had so little juniper in it that it tasted like scotch.
I would be interested in that.
Yeah, apparently the Dutch make gin that doesn't taste like gin.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it was interesting.
There's a place in Virginia, where I live, right? There is a place that they make a gin... Because pretty much there's a restaurant that was like they do all of their source local. They source all their shit local. They're like, we want a Virginia everything.
Yeah.
Everything should come from Virginia. And they came to this facility and were like, hey, we need a gin for our cocktails. There's like nobody who makes gin.
Virginia gin. Yeah. Gin.
Virginia
yeah.
gin.
That's hard to say.
Virginia gin.
Yeah. Yeah. No one did it.
There are probably people, but not at scale.
Yeah.
Because that's usually, like, you can do that. So if you're starting a distillery, that's usually what you do is you make, like...
The clear
vodka
liquors, yeah, yeah.
The clear liquors that don't require...
Aging. Yeah.
And then you can sell that.
Yeah.
To other places who can either then age it or whatever. So...
Mm-hmm.
But they don't like how junipery gin is. So they have, like, a gin that... has like no juniper in it, and instead it tastes much more like anise.
I don't know what anise is.
Licorice.
Mmm, okay.
I fucking hate licorice.
Yeah, no.
So, like, it's like, oh, we've really toned down the juniper. So, if you don't like juniper, like, I feel like juniper can be a little perfumey sometimes.
Sometimes.
So, I was a little excited, and then I tasted it, and I was like, oh, God, what did I do?
Like, so it was closer to Jaeger than it was.
Well, to a gin.
So, why would you even call it a gin if you're not, like,
it's technically a gin.
But there's no juniper.
There is some juniper. There has to be juniper for it to be gin. They're just...
A negligible amount of juniper.
Yeah, they've played up all the other flavors and had just a tiny amount.
Minimized the juniper.
Yeah.
Don't they make moonshine in Virginia?
Sure, yeah.
Do you know, like, somewhere where you could go and just buy it by the milk jug?
I don't know of any, like, illicit moonshine. But there are still plenty of distilleries, like legal distilleries.
Yeah.
Like they're...
Well, they did a big push, I heard.
Their grandpappy and their grand-grandpappy were
Shiners.
Bootleggers. Yeah. Like they were Shiners. And now they've just gone legit, so they have all the licensing, but they still are using the same kind of... like there's like
skill
Belmont
set.
Farms Distillery, which I brought some bottles of last time because, you know, it's... I like bringing stuff to the coffee. I'm from Virginia. I should get stuff that's like a little harder to get.
Wait, they use like a giant... They have like a giant copper still, right? That they used to use when they were...
Some do. I don't know.
I know there's one distillery that uses basically the same still that they used during Prohibition to mass produce something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just this... Like, people don't do it the way they do it. It just happens to be like a massive copper still.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always wanted to try the illicit moonshine. I mean, for the most part, it's probably not different than me drinking Everclear, but, like,
well,
the desire is still
there. You can just go buy a bottle of corn whiskey.
It's the same thing.
It should be roughly the same.
In fact...
And if you want, you can actually go buy bottles of what's labeled as White Lightning,
yeah,
which is the really strong stuff that you're thinking of. You can go buy that at the store.
Yeah.
It tastes gross.
Well, that's because you haven't put... cinnamon sticks and apples in it and let it sit for like a month or two.
Yeah.
Then it's amazing.
That's fair.
I do that. Apple pine moonshine.
But actually, so Belmont Farms actually is pretty interesting because they produce their own stuff. They've been, it's a farm distillery, so they grow a lot of the grain there.
Like they grow their corn, put it in the silo, and then turn it into booze. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Like farm to table, but in a different way.
Liquor.
Yeah.
And they also, there's apparently a show called, like, Moonshiners?
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently they distill, so, like, if you go to the liquor store and go and get, like, the bottles of his moonshine, they make a portion of that. I don't know what their production is, but they're just like, we do the corn whiskey that's...
famous because this famous moonshiner. Popcorn Sutton.
Yeah.
Well, not Popcorn Sutton. I mean, he's just a famous moonshiner.
Yeah.
But I would assume maybe they knew each other. Or he knew of him.
I have no idea.
I'm sure it's a small world, that China world.
If I ever run into him again, I'll ask.
My dad's grandfather during the Prohibition built stills in Pennsylvania.
Really?
Yeah. That's the word on the street. They were a shady family.
Shady family? So your family was a shady family?
My dad's side of the family was a shady family. Yeah. Maybe my mom's like, too. Who knows? I don't know.
I don't know either.
There's things you don't tell your kids.
I would expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I would tell my kids if I was a moonshiner. You want to pass that down.
Mm-hmm.
It's in their blood.
You got to get them involved, man.
Right? Dude, like, I saw, like, one of those episodes on TV, and, like, one of those jugs goes for, like, $100. I was like, I should make moonshine in my basement.
Please don't make moonshine in your basement. Oh, my God, don't do that.
I blow up the apartment building and blind myself from drinking the bad moonshine in the process.
Yeah, exactly.
Way easier to just go to the store.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
I have a different skill set. It's not shining, unfortunately.
Yeah. But we like the skill set that you do have.
So there's a lot of talks today that look
There's like a day's worth of talks.
Who would whole day, thought? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
What are you excited about?
At 10 o'clock, there's programming 1980s Lego robotics in the booth room.
What?
That could be interesting, like hacking crazy. Mindstorm.
Yeah, but like 80s, I think was the thing before Mindstorm.
Oh, I don't even know what was back then. I would assume it'd be all, like, electromechanical, maybe?
I don't remember. Oh, I should have muted that before I just unplugged it.
They're, the Sex Geek Returns, Hacking Plus Human Sexuality, AMA. Was that basically, like, Side Pockets?
I don't know.
Thing last night, if that's the same people, that might be super entertaining if that's in your bailiwick. The people were in here were like super enthusiastic and incredibly knowledgeable. And like build crazy sex toys in their garages. Which, if that's your thing, then
just like the hacker way.
Yeah, that's
exactly
awesome.
Exactly what I would expect.
Like MacGyver some stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else is interesting on here? Protecting whistleblower. It seems like there's a whole Richie track of security. Protecting whistleblowers. There's another one on tour. There's one on securing the delivery of email. Reverse engineering. Portable USB firewall appliances. That's all. Richie's downstairs, right?
Yeah. So, Richie, you go down... like in the little foyer area where the escalators are. And then you go out of pretty much the con space into the lobby of the hotel. And then, so you go out those doors and immediately make a left, go down some stairs, and then just keep following the signs that say Richie.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up in Richie. It's going to be the room that's full of hackers.
Yeah. In the basement, where hackers belong.
Yeah. Can you remind me why I was looking at my phone?
You didn't inform me when you took the headphone jack out.
I'm just going to look something up.
And then, so yeah, it seems like that, this seems really weird. There's a 1500 one, four arguments on why state hacking is bad. I would assume state, they mean nation state.
Yeah, I would expect.
Like, don't get me wrong, like, I would assume nations don't hack for good reasons. They're not doing it to expand their knowledge. They're doing it for nefarious purposes, most likely.
They could be. So, you could have people, like a state, trying to hack into, like, another state in order to, like...
Stuxnet.
Yeah, like Stuxnet.
Do damage.
Sabotage stuff, damage things. But I feel like it's probably more, like... I don't know. I'm not in the intelligence community, but there could also be, like, they just want to know and keep an eye on what are the plans of the other nations.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, anything's helpful.
Yeah, and that, I would say that that's them trying to expand their knowledge.
Could be, like, industrial espionage. That's a big thing. Like, not to stereotype certain countries, but there are countries that break into other countries' largest companies and steal their technology because you could build cool things with it. Or find ways around it to hack other things.
Yeah.
I recall hearing a story about how Google China, the way they got hacked into was someone was able to get network access through a compromised wall thermometer.
Holy
like
shit.
Like a thermostat. Like they broke into that. That got them on another network. And then that got them into like Google proper where they stole data. There's a Vaughn one at 1600 right before the closing ceremonies, which if you're still here, you should definitely go to the closing ceremonies.
Yes.
Called Sensors Everywhere, What's Available, How They Work, and How You Can Use Them. Have you heard of there's a cryptocurrency called IOTA? Have you ever heard of that?
No, I have not. Tell me about IOTA.
Okay, so the super cool thing about IOTA is, so IOTA works as a currency, but that's not the point of it. The point of IOTA is to move data around, but small pieces of data.
Like an iota of data.
An iota, a tiny piece.
A tiny piece.
So let's say I have some data.
Okay.
And it's a thermometer, let's say, like, I don't know, a thermometer on top of this building. I could give that info for free and just dump it into the... IOTA uses something called a Tangle, which is kind of like a blockchain, but different. So I could just dump it into the Tangle. And anyone who wants can subscribe and get this feed. Mm-hmm. Or I could say, this is the cost of the feed per iota of data. And they could pay using this iota currency to get the data from me. So basically, if anyone has any useful information, it could be a temperature sensors. It could be just a database, something that updates often.
Yeah.
You dump it in the Tangle, and you can charge people for one-time access. You can charge people for over and over access.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is, so I'm dumping all this data into the Tangle. How does that help me? Well, if me and you are making a currency transaction, mm-hmm. we do some calculations in the Tangle. What you're doing is, the Tangle is the way everything links together and how the data like moves from system to system. By me and you trading currency, what we're really doing is backing up and moving the data that people are just putting out there. So it's not like Bitcoin for when you're doing processing and the way you benefit is by getting Bitcoins from processing. This way, every transaction requires you to process
something,
this data that's being dumped into the Tangle. So it takes the wasteful part of the cryptocurrency and turns it into something useful, which is data transmission. And you could break up the data the same way you do, with RARs, you could break them up so that, like, mm-hmm. it has 100 pieces.
Yeah.
So, like, theoretically, and they're still working on, like, all the details and stuff, like, you could put massively large files in the Tangle. And, yeah. you know, there'd be some type of fee because you have to, like, for me to put data into the Tangle costs money, just as, like, as I charge other people to take it out. So, you could use it for storage. I mean, it'd be super slow, but you could use it for, like, long-term storage. You could use it for, like something with no central repository, like a pirate bay or a newsreader that people would subscribe to and you could never disable. It's interesting technology. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, like, it's one of those things where, like, a lot of people have to get involved with it for, like, the transmissions of data to start working.
Yeah.
And until they do that, then it's not decentralized. It requires nodes and
yeah. That's not so good.
So the whole thing is like, how do you get people willing to buy this data? And
so when you say buy, do you mean buy as in like buying with money, or do you mean buying as in buying with resource usage to contribute to the Tangle?
Well, you'd have to get the IOTAs.
Yeah.
So you'd have to purchase like a block of them, I guess, like some type of at that, like either if you bought them in cash or Bitcoin or someone gave them to you, for you to start getting data or putting data into the system, you need IOTAs to do it. And then if you do a IOTA transfer, then, you know, that's transactional. If you sell data, like either at a one-time fee or as a
recurring
as
fee.
Transactional, yeah. Like basically like your wallet grows or shrinks depending on if you're pushing data out or pulling data in. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like it seems super interesting because the whole point of it is like, every sensor everywhere would use this IOTA network and it would store everything forever and always. Mm. And then it was up to the person putting the data out there if you wanted people to get the latest version of the data or all the data you've ever put out. And you could charge different fees. So it'd be super interesting. Like, I guess like a good example would be like, I don't know, a company where you wouldn't want to centralize the data, but you still wanted access to it. Like a car manufacturer or something like that. If like all the car manufacturers could agree, like, we want all of like traffic monitoring data to go into the Tangle. Mm-hmm. Like you could store it in there theoretically, always forever.
Yeah.
And everyone would have access to it because that's just how that Tangle works. I mean, it seems super interesting. I think a lot of those weird cryptocurrencies that like don't really have, like the business model isn't purely give me money and I give you untraceable currency like Bitcoin or Monero. Like I can't see them working.
Well, so like one of the things that I thought was interesting is I was reading an article in 2600 magazine, like you do, and it was about Bitcoin, and I thought it was very interesting because you're like, as a cryptocurrency, there's like three things really that it's trying to solve. It's supposed to be like cheaper, faster, and anonymous.
Yeah.
But like, in essence, Bitcoin doesn't really offer any of those.
Any of those three.
Because it's not cheaper because the fees that exchanges, because you have to eventually get, unless you're going to store your currency in Bitcoin, you're probably going to transfer it out. You're not just going to let it sit there.
Yeah.
So, you know,
there's the large fees, yeah.
The fees related to exchanging Bitcoin
for
are high.
It's high.
I recall like a friend of mine, like when it was around like 22,000 or something like mm-hmm. that. He was buying something dumb using Bitcoin. I don't even remember what it was. And like he bought something that was like, I don't know, like let's say like $20.
Yeah.
And the transaction took 2 hours and cost him $12 to do the transaction.
Yeah.
So yeah, it doesn't not slow. It's not fast. It's not cheap.
And it's not actually anonymous because when you sign up for an exchange, like to use an exchange, you have to sign up with an exchange. And in order to do business with that exchange, you need to tell them, like, who are you? Are they legally allowed to do business with you? Are you going to, like, you know, you need to tie it to a bank account because they have to put the money someplace. So if you, like, sell your Bitcoin, they have to put it someplace. Like, they get a lot of information. They need a lot of information legally to, like, take your money. And give you Bitcoin or vice versa.
I felt like I heard Monero fix that. And I don't know anything about Monero other than that seems to be the preferred currency for buying drugs on the internet now.
Is that what that is?
That's all I know about Monero. Mm-hmm. And then maybe I'm just incorrect. I'm sure people are still doing it in Bitcoin. But like I heard it was less traceable.
I have no idea.
On the dark net. Do you frequent the dark net?
No, I don't.
Me neither.
I don't know.
There's so much good stuff on the normal internet, and I feel like the dark internet, not the dark internet, because there's like the dark internet where it's just the stuff that's not indexed.
Yeah.
But like literally like the Tor network dark net.
Well, so
I don't really go on it.
You're conflating deep web and dark.
Yeah. Oh yes. Yeah. Yeah. Deep web. That's it.
So yeah.
I used to be a member of like the coolest website in the world.
What was it?
On the deep net.
What was it?
I don't remember what the exact name was, but it was something along the lines of the end of the internet.
Okay.
And it was like this forum of like all of the cool, like you had to know someone to mm-hmm. get access to this forum. And it was just like all the coolest people on the internet were on this forum. And like, I think like there was a lot of like, I don't know about pirated movies and TV shows. But it just, like, it seemed like if you were doing a technology thing and you had a question, like, you went here and, like, some expert in their field would be like, yeah, this is how you do it. Like, it was filled with a really interesting and weird group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I lost my credentials, or I don't know why I stopped going to it.
I have no idea.
Anyway, the regular internet, there's more than enough there for me to waste my entire life. I don't need other internets.
Yeah, I can understand that.
But, like, I've used Tor, and I've gone on the dark web. But I don't really think I've done anything of note on the dark web. Or I could be tricking everybody.
And he's on there all
and
the time.
All nonstop. I'm just a dark web fiend.
Will not.
Searching.
Can't stop, won't stop.
No. Indexing, viewing the dark web.
Yeah.
They should have called it a different name, like the happy web. And then people wouldn't think it was so dark. You know? people buy drugs on the happy web. I bet it was newscasters called it the dark web.
I mean, that's obviously, I think, probably what happened is somebody, some newscaster probably, or some reporter was like, oh, the dark web. That sounds nefarious.
Right, yeah. Let's go with that.
That'll lead to good headlines.
People are up to no good there. It's not about transferring data anonymously, it's about doing bad things. So let's call it dark.
Yeah. Johnny Christmas, longtime contributor to Radio Statler.
And the world in general.
And the world in general. Has a talk that he didn't do here. He did a different talk. But he's done a lot of different talks here at Hope. But in this case, I think it was like HackCA, but it's like how to dark web and so can you. And it's pretty much the dark web's just fucking boring.
Yeah, I mean, unless
you're really solid, like an hour, just go watch it. It's really good.
Yeah.
And then subscribe to his YouTube channel because that's fucking worth it. It's
I feel like unless you're up to nefarious things or you need to be anonymous to do what you're doing, then, like, what's the purpose?
Well, so, like, from a technological standpoint, it would be... So...
Because you could tunnel...
If you're trying to be anonymous on the internet, there's several reasons why you could. You could be up to no good, sure, but you could also be like an activist that's... Or
a whistleblower or whatever. Oh, yeah.
Like you have a lot of...
Or you're, like, working for a government and, like, you know... Yeah, no, there's completely legitimate reasons. I'm just saying I have none of those reasons because I'm none of those people.
Well, so that's the thing is that they really need to add... have a value add because... The way that like an anonymous network really kind of works is that the more traffic you have,
the better. And you need lots of exit nodes.
Yeah.
Not run by governments.
Exactly. It's very important that you have a diversity of exit nodes, and it's very important that you have a lot of traffic that's just like people saying hi to their mom, sending emails.
Looking at Wikipedia.
Yeah, just looking up shit. Like, how do I like fix my faucet? Like...
To bury, like, the whistleblowers and the activists and...
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Because otherwise it sticks out, like, oh, this person is using blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
And then if you have, like, a compromised exit node, it's a big deal because then people can... Especially if you're using, like, online credentials or something, people can marry up. It's like, oh, I saw this exit node and went to Facebook and this was the cookie and blah, blah, blah.
Totally.
Shit like that. Like, and, it can and be really I mean, bad.
There's definitely places where, like, that'd be a really bad thing. Like,
yeah. That could get people killed.
Totally.
Like, seriously.
Yeah. And not even people, like, whistleblowers or government actors, like, normal people that are in places where it's not okay to be who they are.
Yeah.
Like, and a bad exit node or not enough traffic can not, like, you won't be safe being who you are.
Yeah.
On the internet.
But, like, you need some value add to get people to be like, this is how, you need somebody to be like, this is how we should be doing. This is how the internet should just work. Like, by default, if it should just do onion routing or I2P or whatever. Like,
being an adopter like Mozilla or Chrome, where they're like, everything's going through Tor now.
Yeah.
Like that's the default, and you have to opt out if you don't want to go through the Tor network. I feel like that's the only way you get mass adoption, like when people don't have a choice.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, on the other hand, too, like, it's technically complicated, and there could be weird side effects. Like, I think the Tor browser had... There was something that... I don't remember. But, like, you know,
I know, like, they found ways to, like, track, like, you need to have certain things disabled because, like, if you're running Java, like, that's no bueno. Like,
yeah.
There's tons of things that, like...
It's very could easily just go wrong, and then it could be giving people a false sense of security.
Security, which, yeah.
Yeah.
Which you don't want to do either.
Right. People should be informed as to what are their risks when they're going to be doing something.
Because, I mean, if you're running Chrome, which, like, you know, I'm not saying it's a bad browser or anything, but, like, it's very easy to add extensions and do all these other things. You don't know if your extension to read, well, it natively reads PDFs, but, like, your extension to do whatever, interact with some API is tracking you outside of the network. You wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Because
that's problematic.
You'd have to look.
Speaking about Chrome extensions... there's one that I have installed that I can almost completely forget because I barely use Chrome.
Yeah.
Unless I'm using, like, my Chromebook or Google Hangouts.
Sounded painful.
It sounded very painful. So, it's like a Dictionary of Things or something.
Uh-huh.
So what it does is, like, if it has, like, the number 500 billion, it will, like, compare that to something else.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
if you saw a number, like, Mount Everest is 5,432 feet tall.
It would then compare that to, like, how many football fields that is.
I would like it better if it replaced it with just measurements that don't matter. Like, Mount Everest is 4,000 Taylor Swifts tall. And you'd be like, oh, how tall is Taylor Swift? Be like, Taylor Swift is 14 metric spoons tall. Like, how tall is a spoon? Like,
that would, like, be hilarious. But.
Just make it impossible to, like, read any value because it just changes it to nonsensical measurements. Like, worse than, like, metric and feet.
Oh, my God. That'd be hilarious. Oh, sorry. Yawning on air.
Right?
On an open mic. Sorry, guys.
How big's this monitor? It's like, oh, the diagonal measurement is... 14 red Lego blocks.
Well, okay, You have to specify how those look. Like,
one of those four bangers.
Yeah, the four bangers. Yeah. Okay.
Now, that'd be a small monitor, actually. 14 of the four really bangers. Tiny. Yeah.
No, what it does do, though, is... God, what was it? It was... I was looking at a mechanical keyboard once. It was like 3.5 pounds. And so I'm looking at the specifications on Newegg, and it's like 3.5 pounds. And then in parentheses, roughly equivalent to one small chihuahua. It's like, that's the weight of a chihuahua. Good to know.
I'm liking that extension.
Yeah. But, like, you kind of forget it's there, and then, like, you look up on the schedule. Like, there's one that was, like, it's like 500 billion something. It's like the first one on the schedule sheet. I'm going to look it up real quick.
Oh, it'd be great if it messed with, like, dollar values. Like, it'd be like, oh, you could buy this pair of tennis shoes for $32.
Well, it doesn't, like, inline.
Or 17,000 liters of water from your faucet. Like, side note, pound for pound, the cheapest thing you could buy is water from the faucet in the United States.
Yeah.
Pound for pound.
I believe it. Yeah, so, like, it makes the $500 billion broadband scandal. It's time to break up AT&T again. That talk title it adds in, because it sees $500, adds in some comparison there.
What's the comparison?
I have Firefox on my phone, so I don't know. I'd have to go get my Chromebook.
So far away.
Yeah, it's, like, all the way outside the booth and shit.
Yeah, well, we'll do that another day.
Yeah.
But someone should make that extension. Just nonsensical measurements then.
Also,
you look up recipes, and it, like, eggs, it replaces it with different sized eggs. You need 3.5 emu eggs.
Shit. So we should talk about the schedule for Radio Statler today.
Okay. I don't have that in front of me, so you talk about it, and I'll make witty comments. Okay. Oh, I have the internet. I have the entire world.
In your pants.
The whole light internet.
Yeah.
Not the dark one. On my phone, unless I'm tricking you. We should put Radio Statler on the dark web.
Sure. We can ask Nick God. Yeah. Be like, hey, buddy.
Can you put this on the Onion?
We want to be on the Onion routing.
Yeah, let's just do it. In case there's people that need to see our site that need to hide it because they're in a place that doesn't like Radio Statler. Yeah. Oh, I was looking at our web traffic.
How's our web traffic doing?
Like some people from around the world, like a lot of America, but like there's some Sweden in there. There's some like Australia.
Australia's good.
I thought I saw Peru. I'll show you the map when we get out of here.
Yeah.
No China or Russia.
Oh.
But I mean, I guess there's still time.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we're not big in China or Russia.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. You also have to be aware that, like, so during the daytime, like, in China, depending on what part of China it is.
Oh, it's night. Yeah, so if they were to tune in, they'd be like, what is this?
Why are there all these drunk people? Oh, my God. Yeah.
They're slurring, saying weird things.
So I don't want to listen to this.
I could see that, yeah. That's a good point.
All right, so right now we're...
My Sunday starts at noon on my calendar.
But, well, let me see.
With Side Pocket at noon.
No. That's 12 a.m.
Oh, midnight.
Yeah, buddy. Midnight.
Oh, those AMs, PMs confuse me so much.
You're like, oh, we don't do anything until noon. I'm like,
AM.
AM.
Oh, the day's almost halfway over now.
Yeah, man.
Oh, okay. Oh, I would have. Well, it was games and stuff part two. No one was here, so.
Yeah,
I could play
disappointed.
Games by myself. Part of me last night wanted to come in and play games. Well, I mean, I was unconscious before they start. Like, would have even started. Last night was kind of weird, because normally it's a chiptune concert thing on a Saturday.
We didn't
so,
have that.
Like, I mean, we still had, like, people partying in and around the booth, but it seemed like it kind of moved down by the lock more, because there was, like, some people DJing some chiptunes over there.
Yeah.
Anyways, and, like, they were playing, like, I guess, like, Nintendo on a giant screen. There seemed to be a party going on over there. And, I mean, it's different groups of people here, right? It's not that it's, like, clicky, but, like, you know, I feel like it was, like, a different group over there than the people that come over here for...
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a party going on in here, I recall.
I mean, we had Kurt next door, come in the booth, I guess, last night at some point, because it's been graffitied.
It's on the wall.
It's on the wall.
Can we take a moment to admire the cowboy hat I drew this morning?
It is a beautiful cowboy hat.
Right? Like, I don't think I wanted
you should, to... That should be the banner on your Twitter profile.
Like, I wanted to draw more, but then I was like, I'm just going to ruin it because I don't know how to draw. But I shaded it and everything. Like, it looks awesome.
It does look very good.
Maybe it needs a little drop shadow. I don't know. I don't want to tinker.
Yeah, don't tinker with it.
So, 9 a.m. Radio Geek Podcast in Espanol.
In Espanol.
Muy yeah. bueno.
Though, if that's going to happen...
People, oh, they need to show up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, so it sounds like they made a special Radio Statler edition of their podcast. It's going to be some pre-recorded content, but...
But it will be in Espanol.
It will be.
Oh, that's spectacular.
Yeah.
10 o'clock, we have Free Geek. What's that about?
So, Aphrodite works for Free Geek Vancouver, and she reached out to me. And said that she was interested in coming on the radio show.
What's Free Geek Vancouver?
So Free Geek is like, they're pretty cool, actually. Let me take this schedule. Actually, I'm just going to use my phone because the schedule is okay. Like,
it's
too complicated.
From 11 to 12:30 will be a side pocket extravaganza.
Yeah.
VCFED.
Yeah, so that's the vintage computer.
Oh, yeah, those guys are cool.
Yeah.
I might come in here and babble with them. I like to talk about old things.
You should.
Daniel Nazir from, is that the Electronic Freedom Foundation?
Yeah, so we have a couple of people. From the EFF that will have been, or was supposed to have been on the phone, or on the show.
On the air?
On the air.
I'm going to find people's bios. Jarius Khan? Who's that?
I think he's also EFF.
Another freedom person?
Hold on. Okay, let me get you the answer for Free Geek first. I'm sorry, it's,
How do they alphabetize the names?
They don't.
Really? Are they arbitrarily listed?
So, Free Geek.
By last name, unless it's your nickname.
Across North... Okay, so Free Geek has a panel. It's about reusing and recycling old computers for fun and non-profit.
Oh, that's cool. I knew someone who used to do that in New Jersey. They'd take old computers that people were throwing away and fix them up and give them to, like, people who don't have computers.
Yeah. So across
I don't know if they have the internet, but...
I don't know. But across North America, passionate people help out their community, Free Geek, or a similar organization, to refurbish discarded computers and make them useful tools again for people who need them. In the process of this, people build community, gain skills, and help the planet. Challenges to successful operations include ethical e-waste recycling practices, troubleshooting and repairs, parts management, drive imaging, ensuring... free and open source software use, managing volunteers, organizational structure and governance, financial sustainability, and ensuring a balance between community needs and interests.
Do you think they install Chrome OS? Or they're giving people like CentOS?
They're well, hopefully not CentOS, because that's kind of terrible for a daily driver desktop, but
I hope it's I mean, it locks you into the Google system, but like, I've never seen an old person not be fine with Chrome OS.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, you know, if you're paying your bills and going to the DMV, like, even if you're making documents, like, most people don't know the difference.
Okay, so...
Privacy Patriots, they're doing, like,
their podcast again.
At 12.
They asked,
2.
They asked about, it's like, can we, like, hook in and record? I was like, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they could just take a headphone
take
port.
A headphone jack like that. I mean, we're also... we. Should be recording everything here.
So yeah, no, yeah, this is here. Did we remember to stop it and start it before we started?
No, we didn't.
So there's going to be like 3 hours of dead air. I mean, it's not hard to find the dead air.
It's not hard. You know what? We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we're back.
Nice.
Supposedly.
So nice new fresh MP3 to upload.
Yes.
I was disappointed that the biggest one was only like half a gig.
Well, so I don't know. I think we've been okay with like stopping and starting occasionally.
I don't think it's ever on purpose. Theoretically, we could stop and start after every single talk and then not have to edit anything.
Sure.
But then that requires
us to stop and start and everybody be on the same
page. Yeah. Knock Talk. 3.
So that the network operations team should be coming in here to tell us about all the cool things.
Manny Faces. Who's that?
Manny Faces is the News Beat podcast. He did the talk about like hip hop hacking.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Hip hop culture.
Oh, maybe could. I don't know a lot about the culture, but I appreciate a good musical guest.
Yeah. No, I
could
agree.
Rock that. Side Pocket takes over again at 4, harping on hams. I guess he's talking to the ham people upstairs.
Possibly. Or is it a Side Pocket speaker roundup? Or
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's going to try to get some people in.
It seems like a quick one. Half hour. Security will be in here for a half hour.
Yeah.
Where are the video games?
That's something that Side Pocket came up with.
Yeah. Oh, Nick God said he was going to bring like an incredibly broken emulator that messes with games.
I don't think that happened.
That happened. Yeah, I know. Stuff gets in the way.
You asked about Jairus Khan, right?
Yeah.
So he works for Mozilla. So he's a designer, hacker, noise musician, activist, and recovering goth. He works on Mozilla's Internet Health Report, an open source project that documents and examines the health of the Internet not only a technical issue but a human one. Before joining Mozilla, he was a strategist for the Internet Society, the nonprofit parent organization of the Internet Engineering Task Force. His resume includes developing open source rules of engagement for the European Central Bank, managing international concert tours, and unsuccessfully lobbying the Bank of Canada to have Wolverine replace Sir Wilfrid Lauer on the Canadian $5 bill. that would be great, but also you'd have to pay money to Marvel. Like every time that you printed your money.
Yeah.
you gotta spend Disney money to now. Print money.
Have you heard of the people who hold the keys to the internet, the ICANN keys? Have you ever heard of that?
No. What about it?
Okay, so the internet is controlled by 14 people with access to these keys.
Are they actual, like, physical keys?
They're physical keys.
Okay.
But I forget exactly what the keys... They meet up. So the Internet Keymasters...
Uh-huh.
Someone from Britain, the United States, China, Trinidad, Czech Republic, Canada, a bunch of other places. Okay, wait, hold on. They're part of ICANN. They control basically DNS for the internet.
Yeah.
So they have a key ceremony where they unlock a series of doors and mazes to get to a room.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do they do in this room?
I don't know. You have to tell me. You're the one telling the story.
Okay, that's the key ceremony. What do they do in the room? I forget what makes them so important. I think it's basically that like they basically control. Oh, so they control the root zone of the internet, the 248-bit RSA key.
Oh, so like the CA.
Yeah, so like they're the central, like ICANN's the central authority, mm-hmm. and they control the signature of the central authority certificate.
Yeah, so they have just, like, that on lockdown.
Yeah. And they're the ones who control it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm not really explaining it. That would be a really cool talk about these people. The key ceremony. In the public key cryptography and computer security, a root key ceremony is a procedure where a unique pair of private and public keys are generated. Mm-hmm. So I guess they make the root, they meet up periodically to make a new root key for the entirety of the internet.
Yeah, I mean it'd probably be, I don't know how long you would make that key for. It should be on the scale of years, though. Like, I wouldn't expect that you'd...
I think it's every year.
Every year? Really? The root...
Well, if the
key for...
For the internet?
For the internet? They need... That has to expire every year?
Let's see. I'll look it up.
Yeah, you should look that up. That seems a little excessive. Like root keys are... Should be pretty long-lived. I don't know. Maybe...
I'll look it up. You yeah. keep talking about... What were we talking about?
Well, okay. So we were going over the schedule, right?
Yeah.
And I think you left off at where are the video games. And I told you that Side Pocket had something in mind. And then at 6 o'clock, Regina Monaco stopped by. And she's doing a talk. Or probably at that point we'll have done her talk. But she is doing her talk, or did her talk, on BMI. So brain interfaces. So like controlling a computer with your mind. I have so many tabs open on my phone. Like, oh my god, what am I doing with my life? Oh, that's right, I'm talking with you guys.
I feel like it's yearly.
How is it? That's so often. That's nuts.
Maybe it's more than that. Well, why are there 14 of them, but only four? Like, basically, I'm reading it. There's seven people have to attend, but there's 14 people total. And one stored on the East Coast and one stored on the West Coast. Wow, it's really complicated.
Yeah. Running a CA is...
Every tiny detail is recorded by auditors and videotaped, mm-hmm. making the whole ceremony a matter of public record.
So we can watch it.
Yeah.
If it's a matter of public record, we can watch it, guys.
It's streamed live during the ceremony.
Oh, dude, we should do that. Do you want to do that? Let's find out the next time they're doing their live stream, and then we can like live stream it and then comment around it, like do a play-by-play. It's like, oh, look at them. Oh, they're putting they're attaching the keyboard to the body of the certificate authority.
Oh, okay. Oh, here we go.
Okay. Yeah, lay it on
there, man. The 27th signing was in 2016. So let's see when the signing was after that. Oh, the Internet Society. They could tell us about it. This is from their website.
Oh, okay.
Key signing. They would totally know, because they're the Society of the Internet.
Yeah.
So weird. It's such a small world, right? Okay, so key signing.
So while you're...
The 29th was May 2017. The 27th was October 2016.
So these guys are being renewed pretty frequently.
I feel it, maybe every 6 months?
Okay, so if you have you said there was two different data centers or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So they probably have two different keys.
Yeah.
So they're probably...
And they probably alternate.
So it's probably a 2-year life cycle. And they're doing one a year.
Well, the first one. So the 29th was May 2017.
Yeah.
And the 27th was October 2016. So that means 28 happened
in 2017.
I think it's twice per year.
No. Why?
Because if the 27th was in October and the 29th was in May, that means the 28th was between October and May.
There's probably a 6-month delay between them, but I think if there's two different keys, they expire. See what I'm saying? Maybe it's a year long.
But on opposite sides.
Yeah.
Nope, four times a year.
Four times a year?
Four of these 14 people need to meet up And then
seven people, but
14 have the keys.
Yeah.
And then there's some other people that you don't need the keys for, I guess.
So four times, so quarterly, they have to go and renew.
It takes 4 hours to do the ceremony.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Four times a year, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Shit.
Other operations that may occur during the ceremonies include installing new cryptographic officers, replacing hardware, and generating or replacing a KSK, a key signing key.
Wait, so the ceremonies, what are they doing every...
They're generating the cert that all certs come from.
So the root
The cert. Root cert of the internet.
Every...
Four times a year, times alternating a year, East so Coast, every, West Coast.
Every 3 months. So every 3 months they're renewing... The Root CA. That's nuts.
We can go back and watch it live.
Well, we're going back. We're not watching it live.
It only takes 5 hours.
Tell you what, let's find out the next time. I'm totally serious. We should
display it.
Yeah, we should do Mystery Science Theater on that.
Right?
Yeah. It's just play by play. It's like, what are they doing now? Oh, look, they're plugging in the USB.
Oh, no, the guy dropped it. Now what happens?
Oh, no.
The internet.
The internet's fucked, man. Everything's powers off. Oh, no. Regina Monaco, 6 o'clock, 1800, 6 p.m. Regina R. Monaco is doing a talk later today, but before she's on the radio, called A Wizard Hat for Your Brain. Or, What is a Brain Machine Interface? So, a brain machine interface, unfortunately also called BMI, as opposed to Body Mass Index.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a brain machine interface is an electrical device that can be used for recording neuronal information or signals from the brain. And there's a lot of description about these devices.
I have a good brain.
You're the best brain.
Well, I don't have any hair, so I feel like if you were attaching things to my skull, I have less hair.
You don't have much hair.
I feel like I would have better controlling powers than people with more hair, right?
Oh, in terms of that? Yeah, probably.
I think it would work that way.
Yeah.
Like, that's why Professor X shaves his head, and he has powers.
No.
What?
He doesn't shave his head because he's psychic.
But that's how the psychic gets out. The hair blocks it.
I think he's just bald.
No, I saw this documentary where, like, he was all young and then, like, he had hair and then he didn't have hair and he was, like, powerful.
But, like, it could just be that the passage of time makes people go bald. Like, if you're...
No, it was the powers. I'm pretty sure it was the powers.
I saw a documentary?
It was the whole point of the documentary, yeah.
What documentary?
I don't know. It was like in the 70s, and he went around and like he found other people with powers, and they got together, and they were like fighting bad guys.
I don't think that was a documentary. I think that was a movie.
A movie?
A movie. A fictional portrayal of events that never happened.
Just go in front of cameras and like make stuff up and tell lies?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
But like I saw it. Like, it happened.
It was CGI, man. With
no, family. Like, they were like, there was real powers.
It's not real powers.
It really was.
Documentary.
Yeah.
Three questions. All right.
So wait, is this someone who knows about the key ceremony?
Do you want to sit down on air?
Come talk.
Do you want to sit down
there? We're babbling. We're talking about key ceremonies.
We're talking about some documentary about the X-Men that Stape apparently watched.
The next key signing ceremony is in August.
In August? It's
the 34th.
God, we should totally do something. That'd be so stupid.
Something special. Ooh, this one's in El Segundo, California. It starts at 1 p.m. local time.
1 p.m. local. So that would, you know, East Coast time. That's not bad.
Oh, normal people are allowed to observe.
Observe?
Observe.
Observe.
I need to request 45 days in advance to witness it. And I can't Snapchat it.
Here, can you speak into the microphone?
Certainly, if you can define normal.
Try that one. Just keep talking.
Sure.
Nope. Keep.
Keep going. Keep going. Turn it up a little bit more.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, we got you.
Hear myself now.
There we go.
We had to turn one off. So do you know about the key signing ceremony? Is that why you're here?
No, I'm just walking around killing time.
Have you heard of the key signing ceremony?
I have heard of it, but I've never watched it live.
I want to watch it.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch this now.
I feel like this is something very important that we should witness. We should have off from work, and we should watch this when it happens.
I really feel like we should Mystery Science Theater this crap.
They have the keys to the internet.
Wait, what day? You said you had a date.
The 15th.
Yeah, what day of the
Wednesday.
Week is it? It's a Wednesday?
What, you think they do this on a Saturday? It's
fuck
important.
Yeah, they should make
no.
it do it on a Saturday.
No, they probably get paid to do it.
You got to do it on I think this is a volunteer thing.
Yeah, but I would imagine whoever they work for covers their costs to do it.
I think it's a big deal.
This is a very geeky kind
of
thing.
I think it's a big deal to have one of those people like
oh, yeah.
work for you, so I feel like you'd...
Wait, so where on the East Coast is it? When's the next one on the
East
Coast?
Oh, the East Coast is Virginia. You need to attend it. The
wow, there you go.
Wait, what?
So you could Mystery Science 3000
Culpeper, Virginia.
From there?
Is that near you?
No fucking shit.
Culpeper, Virginia.
I live really close to that.
At the Root Zone Key Management Facility East. It'll be Thursday, November 15th.
Sounds like an easy place
November
to find.
November 15th?
November 15th.
Wait, so how far in advance do I have to go do this?
You need to...
So how do I request it?
Would you say 45 days?
Request should
totally
be submitted at least 45 days before the ceremony.
So like a month and a half.
More information on attending in person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Volunteering
you interest,
as an
man.
External witness.
Yeah.
So could you get press credentials?
I don't think you need them.
No.
I think
they want normal people to watch because this is an important deal. They also videotape it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you two guys, but I don't qualify for normal.
Normal enough.
You seem to have your faculties. If you're interested in attending the ceremony's external witness, you should express your interest no later than 40. You should do it now.
Do it now.
This provides time to coordinate availability and provide you with confirmation with enough time to plan to travel.
Is it a form?
Unconfirmed attendees will be unable to enter the facilities. Attendance requests may be submitted to ceremony-support@iana.org. Ooh, do we want to see what the rules are?
Yeah, what are the rules? Wait, can you repeat that email address? I'm literally going to type this out right now.
C-E-R E-M-O-N-Y
E-M-O-N-Y
dash S-U-P-P-O-R-T
okay
at iana.org
iana.org
I mean, it's well in advance of October.
Yeah.
I hope this isn't the thing where as soon as they announce... Maybe it's so geeky that as soon as it announces, it fills up.
It's filled up.
Keep trying. Okay.
Yeah.
So the rules. Two types of photo ID.
Okay.
They're going to give you a badge that you have to show at all times.
Do we get to keep the badge?
That's a good question.
Because that would be some fucking swag for my wall.
Mm-hmm.
With all the rest of my badges. It'd be fucking sweet.
Your bags are subjected to be scanned and searched.
Why bring
and
a bag?
You have to go through a metal detector.
Yeah, sure. I'll do that.
Small personal electronics may only be used in the ceremony in a discreet manner that does not interrupt the ceremony. So you are allowed to tape it.
Mm.
You're not allowed to bring large electronics, so no cameras, no weapons, and smoke-free. There's surprisingly little rules for how important I believe this is.
Do they have t-shirts, though?
I would get a t-shirt if I witnessed it. They might have...
So
do you think they have some type of like
swag?
Gift store on the way?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You said November 15th, 2018, right?
Hold on. The 35th key ceremony is November 15th, 2018 at 17 UTC.
So
that's
November 15th.
Noon local time.
So November 15th, what day of the week is that? Is that also a Wednesday?
That is a Thursday.
It is a Thursday. Man, I'd have to take off work.
Dude, this only happens 4 times per year. If they say there's space and you get in, I'm going to send an email and I will drive overnight to witness this and drive home right after it's over. Just straight through.
Wait a minute. So he's getting the ticket and you're going to drive to watch him go in?
No. Like, if they're like, we have tons of space, like, invite all your friends because no one ever comes for so lonely, then, like, yeah, I'll send them an email. Be like, yeah. If not, maybe I'll plan it a little in advance. But, like, it's the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority.
Yeah. So, all right. I would be interested in more information.
I think the key signers are a big deal.
Attend the key signing.
Well, depending how hot these tickets are, you can put them on StubHub, maybe.
Oh, I wonder if...
So the one in November was the 35th? You said some number.
15th? Oh, it's the 35th key signing.
Okay, I'd be interested in more information on attending the key signing.
Each of them have an actual key.
Yeah.
7 of them. And there's 7 more people that are backups. Every ceremony requires 3 people to unlock the equipment that they use to generate the keys.
Does sound like it'd be something worth watching.
So... I'm sorry, I'm trying to look up who these officers are.
They probably don't, like... Why would you publish that list? Why would you... No, seriously, why would you publish that list? You're just going to be like... It's like, okay, this we know these people...
Well, there's
people.
Only 14 of them. If someone shows up and is like, yeah, I'm Steve. And, like, that's the key.
Yeah, you would, like, know.
You're
but
not,
like,
Steve.
But, like, so you need, what, 7 keys or something like that? To get in or something, right?
4 keys to do it. Or you need 3 keys. You need 3 keys. And there's 7 people with the keys. And then there's 7 backup keys.
Okay. So you really only need to steal the keys from 3 different people.
And then break into a facility, and then who knows what other craziness they have.
Like, sure.
This is some Mission Impossible style stuff.
It is some Mission Impossible style stuff, but, like, if you were... Think about it this way, right? Think about it this way. If you were a state actor...
Yeah.
Would it not be interesting or... Like, would it not behoove you to consider possibly fucking with, like, the root CA key for the entire fucking internet? For the root zone for DNS? You couldn't think that would be a tempting thing? Like, it'd be fucking nuts. Be insane.
It'd be, yeah.
But, like, you don't think that people would not be thinking about that to a certain extent?
Well, okay, so, like, here's someone, I'm looking at the people but they describe the room before you sign, and they say there's, like, a soda machine in there and stuff, but they say it might be a fairly typical office scene if it were not for the extraordinary security procedures that everyone in this room had to complete, the sort of procedures normally reserved for nuclear launch codes or presidential visits.
Ooh.
So something makes me think that, like, this is a big deal and it's very well protected.
Sure.
So what if you went on the really dark side and figured that you took out enough of these people that they couldn't hold this meeting? Then what happens to the internet?
Well, you'd have to take them all out at the same time.
You needed 3, right? And there's 14 people?
But there's also 2 data centers. So I feel like if they're like, yeah. Oh, we're under attack, they'll, like, cut it off from the internet and switch over to the other one. So it needs to be a coordinated effort. You need all 14 key holders in both locations. And then what would you do? You could just
14 per
redirect
location.
Google to Pornhub. Mm-hmm. Like...
Well, I don't know. So I mean, the keys would expire, so then what happens to the internet?
Well, if they missed the ceremony, they would expire, which would break a lot of things.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
you couldn't trust any DNS was going to the right place.
Yeah. Well, and then, like, if somebody had access to that key, like, anyway, like, if somebody stole it, then they would be able to just pretty much reissue.
Mm-hmm. So like we're going to poison all these people when they go into the restaurant, and then from there...
I mean, it's impossible, and man, I hope nobody... We should stop talking about it. Somebody's
going to write a book about this, and we're not going to get any money.
Dude, this is even better. Okay, so the primary 14, they all have a key that gets into a box that has a swipe card. The swipe card, when they put them all together in this machine, it generates a new key. The backup key holders don't have keys to these cards. They actually have fragments of the code on each of their cards to rebuild the key generating machine. So basically,
cool.
These other people are there where if these facilities got taken out and the keys destroyed, they could recreate the keys with their keys. Oh, that's so cool. I still haven't found out who these people are.
They're probably not going to have a list.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you at this point now.
This is a big fucking deal. They're not going to publish that list. I really fucking hope they're not going to publish that list. That'd be real bad.
Yeah. But I do like your idea of commenting on it while it's going on live.
Yeah, so like I taking think the live stream and then...
somebody was commenting and you were there yet live at the same time.
Yeah.
You could be the on-scene reporter. I mean, you could really...
Well, except I can't be disruptive to the ceremony.
No.
But I could definitely like talk about the experience afterwards. Mm.
So I'm going to have to sit here and read
it. In the post-game. Mm-hmm. I could be there for the pre-game.
That's right.
Like, yeah, apparently the room next door has like an arcade machine because it takes a while to like move from room to room. So like it's a deal. But one of the people, there's a guy from Russia. His name's Dmitry Bravko.
Like this was a guy that went and witnessed?
Bravkov. No, he's a key holder.
Oh, he's a key holder.
He's a Russian security expert.
That'd be a cool title.
And
he
flies in from Russia to make the keys.
I am the key
holder.
And
you think
holder.
He does that on his own dime?
Or his company, or yeah. I mean, the government could pay just so that they know he's part of it.
Cool,
yeah.
I can't believe that we let the Russians in. But well, that's right. We're friends with them now. Sorry.
Here, there's a woman from Sweden that holds a key, Anne Marie Lewinder, but it doesn't say what she does for a living.
Well, that's 2 out of the 14. You're doing a good job.
Oh man, ceremony was it ceremony dash support? Or was it just ceremony support with Odash?
A dash between the two.
Because I got a bounce back.
Yeah, there was a dash.
I did a dash.
I'll find it again.
Was that the right email address? I think that was. IANA.
Hold on one second.
We're having technical difficulties. So for your questions, yeah, if you want to come and tear down, that'd be great.
Observing ceremony.
After closing.
More information.
After close. For your second question.
That's when you start, right?
Yeah, so after closing, pretty much once they cut the internet, that's when we're going to stop broadcasting.
Okay. Down after
then,
closing.
For number two, our shirt.
Mm-hmm. You want one of our shirts? No, that's the address.
What size are you?
Just a large.
Yeah, go grab a large.
Okay. Thank you.
You've been helping out, so I think you definitely deserve it.
M-O-N-Y.
And now you've been on the radio, so.
S-U-P-P-O-R-T.
True that.
Yeah.
Add that to my resume.
Maybe there's a period.
Along with my TV shows and everything else.
Volunteered at Radio Stellar.
Maybe there's a period after the org.
Org dot?
No, that's exactly what they have on the site.
Oh, man.
Why do they not?
That's bullshit.
Why do they not want us to do this?
Like. I'll have to drive down to Culpeper, like bang on the. So let me in. I need to see the key signing ceremony.
Don't you know who I am?
Very important.
Number three, I heard you talking this morning when I was getting ready.
They're behind you.
Ah,
like literally. You see how full it is?
Oh yeah.
I'm offended.
Okay.
Those things are delicious.
It sounded that way when I heard you describing them this morning.
Did you want some?
I'm not certain that I want it for breakfast, but yes.
Oh, they do crazy stuff. They need to know PIN numbers. There's facial recognition, like high security safes that these people have the combos to.
Yeah.
There's like a whole script they have to go through.
That sounds right to me.
They need at least 3 people.
You left the channel.
Their smart cards are held in tamper-resistant bags.
Yeah.
The Portuguese key holder is João Damas.
So there is like a list.
It has all their names, but some of them they don't say. There's a Uruguayan named Carlos Martinez who works for the Internet Registry for LACNIC, which is Latin America and the Caribbean. basically, it's all but, like, so there's 21 key holders. All but one of them have been holding keys since they started the process. So it's been the same people. So it's got to be a big deal. Only one key holder has resigned, Vint Cerf, one of the fathers of the internet who is now in his 70s and is employed by as a chief internet evangelist by Google. At the very first key ceremony in Culpeper, Virginia, Cerf told the room that the principle of one master key lying at the core of networks was a major milestone. Think about how complicated it was to navigate the internet before there was a central source for what's what. Like, sending email, like, you had to bounce from college to college. And
UUNet.
Yeah. Or go to different web pages, you had to bounce from college to college. There was no... Sometimes, like, I remember I had a faculty member telling me, my college very early, like, some colleges only sent their mail or received their mail at certain times.
Yes.
So depending on how you sent your mail, like, it'd be like, well, like, if I time this right, like, it'll take 10 minutes because I know this college is going to batch send their mail this time and that one's going to do it that way. But if I miss it, then they're not going to get it for, like, 2 days. Like, he said it was incredibly complicated to direct mail to where you wanted to go because you had to know every jump to get there.
You had to know the hops in between to actually put that in the email address.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember having to do that.
Yeah, we had Montclair State was a very early adopter of the internet. And where the entire, but I mean, like it was ARPA. It was after ARPA, but I know we were early enough in the process where, like, we had our choice of, like, 3-letter EDU domains. We're like, no, we want Montclair, which they should have went for MSU, and then Michigan State would have been beat.
I remember when you used to be able to buy EDU domains.
Really?
Yes, there wasn't a time when you could buy them, and then when they decided that they were going to be restricted, they made everybody go through and register and validate that you were allowed to have one, and that's when I lost mine.
Okay, so I just need to say one more thing about this, and then I'll stop talking about the key ceremony. So they're describing one where something goes wrong. A security controller slams the door of the safe shut, triggering a seismic sensor, which triggers automatic door locks. The ceremony administrator and all of the keyholes are locked in an 8-foot square cage for 6 minutes until they realize they need to hit the evacuation button for the building. Everyone leaves, and then they have to start the 100-page script all over again.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So if they're in an 8-foot room, that means when you go to observe, you're probably not in the same room with them.
Oh, I would. Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe this is like being observing an operation from above.
Maybe. That'd be cool. So, you're saying IANA is responsible for it? It looks like they have, like, KSK ceremony materials for DNS key signing key information?
SysTrust certification? Do you want the exact page? I'll put it in our... The attending the key ceremony info?
Yeah.
I'll put it in our Slack. Or IRC for all of our followers.
Yeah, put it in IRC. Hey, everybody, just tell you what, we'll go hang out. Let's all go see a key signing and then go hang out.
Dude, think about, like, so there's that's the link that I was looking at that had the info to join it. That's in our IRC now.
Okay, what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to forward that it bounced to them.
Okay. The European Commission wants to change the system because they don't have faith of the system being based in the United States.
So what, they want to have, like, another center that's, like, in Europe or something?
Well, think about it. If you have the ability to sign these things, then you have the ability to change them.
Yeah.
No. Any more tidbits of info? Ooh. One woman wears them around her neck all the time.
Hope knock. Oh my god, what's hope knock today?
Another woman puts it in a hidden hollow in furniture. Man, yeah. Someone should do a talk on this. I think it's something that people don't know.
Hope Knock just mentioned us on Twitter. They said, how are you rocking out 500 plus megabits per second from a Shoutcast server via 3 sessions? Network security for the press powered by OPEC Cloud.
How are we pushing out that much?
I have no fucking clue.
Are we broadcasting at like an insanely high bit rate? I mean, at least we're chewing up their thing.
Ooh. Look at this. Look at that. Look at that graph.
That's weird. Could it have been? Was it earlier?
It's bytes received. 1.2 gig.
I was moving stuff around through FTP, but I don't see how that could do anything.
Well, yeah, because it says the application is Shoutcast.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
It says there's no threats, though.
So no one's listening?
I have no idea how many people are listening.
There you go.
There's no, like, little number that says blah, blah, blah?
I don't see one. Probably wrong. But I don't know.
It takes 3 months for the key to propagate after they sign it. So 4 times a year, by the time they sign the next one, the first one hasn't even fully propagated yet, maybe. Oh, no. Yeah, so they finish the ceremony, and then they send the key through a secure channel to VeriSign, and then it's live on the internet at that point. When asked, do they think the system is trustworthy, they say, I think so. You'd have to compromise a lot of people. Some of it's out of necessity, and some of it is theater. The process is technical and political. Snowden thinks the system's well-designed, in case anyone holds his opinion high. It's like a combination of church and a baseball game, and I don't know what else.
Wait.
... I'm getting sleepy, says PR person Lynn Lipinski. 5 hours it takes. Are you sure you want to go there and then sit there for 5 hours?
They said baseball game, but like the only reason why I would want to go to a baseball game is because I could eat hot dogs and drink beer. So, I mean, maybe I could convince them.
Does it say they have food?
Yeah, if they
there was a little vending machine in one of the rooms before you go into the main one.
Well, there was an arcade game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could eat Oreos and play Asteroids or something. I hope it's like a super old game, like literally like Asteroids when they... it was lying around, and it's too complicated to get it out of all the doors, so we just left it there.
So somewhere you'd think there'd be photos of this online.
Oh, there's photos. There's whole. They record every single one.
They record it. So there's if you go on the IANA.org website, it looks like they have like a folder. That's just, so if you do, like, it's the DNSSEC signing ceremony.
Pictures of all the people. They sit around for a big group photo at the end.
Does that include the volunteer witnesses? Like, I feel like I want to do this, like, once in my life and only once.
Oh, yeah, it's only once, but it'd be history. Like,
yeah.
Like,
I feel like I'd be part
forever.
Of something.
Yeah.
I'd be part of something. That would be, like, my Facebook profile picture at that point, is the picture of me with all the other nerds.
Because no one would know what it was, but the people that did know would be like, oh, my God.
I can't believe you did that.
It's like the...
Were you at the key signing 35 in 2018? It was the best. It was the best key signing.
That's why you need t-shirts.
Yeah.
The sensor went off, and they had to hit the fire alarm, and then we had to start all over. We didn't get out till like 4 in the morning.
Yeah, it was great.
That cop kicked that dude in the face. Like, who knows? I don't know. Maybe it's crazy. Like, it's just pandemonium.
I would totally get a shirt that said, I went to the key signing, dude, number 35, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. Like, get that on the back,
you
on
know,
the
you
front,
could sell them
like,
outside, maybe.
Dude, you should wear it to the ceremony. Like, there's people wearing t-shirts.
Yeah.
There's like,
no, I totally would wear a t-shirt. I'd wear what I wear to work, which is like a t-shirt. I'm very 90s. It's like a pair of jeans,
graphic tee and then like a collared shirt unbuttoned.
Totally. Yeah. Wear a shirt. What if they make you turn it inside out? I'm sorry, sir. That's not. This is.
Well, I'll put it on
a ceremony.
On the front, On the front, I'll have like you know key signing 35, like in a nice logo or something. I got something made up real nice, and then like in a raglan style. And then in the back, it'll say like I went to key signing number 35.
No, it'd be even better if it said key signing 15. And then they film it, and you're there with key signing 15 and the date.
The date's all wrong. They're like, what the fuck is this shit?
Think the ceremony's a joke?
I don't think you're taking this seriously.
Take a Sharpie with you, man. Maybe get signatures on your shirt.
Oh, man. Now, if you're going to get a shirt signed, you have to get paint pens. Do not get Sharpie. Sharpie
puff
washes
paint.
Out.
Puff paint.
No, don't get puff paint. Puff paint's off.
You need to respect the ceremony, Mr. Beaches.
Puff paint is like the fucking worst. Don't use puff paint. Don't use fucking puff paint.
you could be like, you're
you
not.
Can get,
I'm not trapped in here with you.
You're trapped in here with me.
With me. Ah. 15.
This is key signing 15. I don't care what you say. Oh, man. According to...
Enraged bearded man causes scene at otherwise dull key signing ceremony.
Oh, man. All right, so according to your site, I should contact... help if I could spell, which would probably... I'd probably be able to spell if I slept more than 3 hours last night.
Ooh.
According to your site, I should contact ceremony support at IANA.org. But that email address seems to not work.
How far? Never mind. I don't want to know.
What? Are you going to ask me, like, how far away is it from me?
You can tell me off air.
Yeah. Huh. It's a very reasonable amount of time for me to, like it's not...
I think Virginia's, like...
Virginia's actually a really
12 hours
state.
From Mace, but I think it's worth every moment.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I just... Fuck.
To witness such a thing.
Yeah. Nah, dude, like, you should totally also send them an email. And if we both get in, we should, like, go hang out.
Besties.
Like, afterwards.
Besties watching the key signing. Hello.
I like the way everybody signs it when they're done.
Did the witnesses get to sign it? Like John Hancock, stop A.
There's a lot of signatures on there.
It looks like, yeah, it's more than
it's
four.
It's two pages, and yeah.
It's got to be everybody in the room, I bet. Forever. Forever will be your name on a document.
Yeah, Beaches. Look at that.
I like it.
You
but can then
print it out and get it framed.
You're going to be part of history, man. Like internet
making
history.
Yeah, that's why I want to do this, man.
I don't know if they'll let you sign at Beaches, though.
Do you think there's anyone here who's attended one?
There.
I feel like I need to go out and make a sign and be like, has anyone attended the key signing ceremony? If you know what I mean, find Stop A. And then we could ask them on the air what it's like. And they'll tell us there's two types of people in this world. Those who have seen the key get signed and those who haven't. And they have.
And we'll find the real ones who've watched it online.
Really, we just need to go out there and see who glows.
With that special certain light on the inside.
The aura, the inner glow of knowing you witnessed something.
Well, if they're out there and they're listening, stop by.
Yeah. Like, it only happens four times a year. Like.
Yeah, so.
It's kind of a big deal.
I mean, even if I couldn't make the one in November, there's going to be another one like 6 months later, right?
Yeah.
So.
I think as soon as they list it on the site, maybe you have to maybe they disable the email because they're just inundated
maybe?
Of like key signing fans.
Maybe, but they should put that they should state that though. They should be like, "Hey,
due to high demand,
due to high demand, we
booked till 2020.
And,
yeah,
come back at this time when, like 2 months in advance, that's when they open.
Or maybe it's like a trick, and they just send fake bounce messages 4 or 5 times. And they're like, okay, it's been 6 times, now we let him. I feel like it should be like a lottery system. It shouldn't be first come, first serve.
No, I would agree with that. All right, so cued. I sent them, so I'm forwarding it to their regular contact information, telling them that my email bounced, so yeah. I just forwarded the whole thing. Like, this email bounced, and I saw that this is where I was supposed to be, and it bounced, so I don't know what happened, but whatever.
You don't want to seem too enthusiastic.
Yeah. Well, like, I'm just at this point, I'm just informing them that I had an issue. So either their site's wrong.
You're helping them.
Yeah, I'm trying to be helpful.
Yeah.
I try to do that. I found one guy, like, I found his website, and SSL was completely fucked. So I sent him an EF to, like, tried to find out his email. I was like, hey, your SSL's fucked on your site. Your key's expired. You need to fix that.
I once built, like, a website. And the website was just like an exercise at screen scraping. I was like playing around with libraries and building some stuff. So like it was all this data, and I guess someone found it useful because like I just let it expire. Like I wasn't using it. Like I was just like, oh, this is cool. And put it up, and he called me up on the phone because like I registered using my real name because whatever. And he called me up and he's like, hey, your site's down. I was like, yeah. It was just like an exercise. Like he's like, is it ever gonna go back up? I was like. No, not really. Like, it was just there. He's like, I kind of use that every day. I was like, oh, that sucks, man. And then I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll try to renew it. Because I was like, well, maybe if he's using it, other people do too. And someone squatted on it. Like, it had been expired for like a week or two by that point.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, it didn't have to be the same domain, right?
So the point of the whole screen scraping was... I found data that was super easy to get. It was salary data for teachers and cops in the state of New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
So I took all that, but the data wasn't sorted very well. And so I scraped all the data out of the databases it was in, cleaned it up, and organized it programmatically. And then using, do you guys know web development, what mod rewrite is? So I basically took a solid database and had one PHP file that made it look like a really in-depth website with lots of folder directories and like everything was interlinked and like it was scraping stuff from Wikipedia. It was like super, super complex, but I was seeing basically how complex I could make one PHP file be an entire website of just scraped data. And the point of it was that like basically like you set something up, you walk away, and then anytime anyone searches for anything that's like it, it just kind of programmatically generates it on the fly. So, like, just the fact of Google indexing my site scrapes the data and displays it to them. And then it had Google AdWords against it. Anyway, it was super interesting to build, but, like, I didn't really have, I think it made, like, $20 a month or something like that. But it was just an exercise to see if it was possible.
Yeah.
But, yeah, some guy was so upset that it went away that he called me.
So, the site... generated ad revenue at $20 a month.
I didn't I didn't realize it was making $20 a month until after I lost it. Like I kind of just set it and forget it. Like it was just I wanted to see if I could do it and then I walked away.
I'd say that pays for itself and that I think is a public service.
Some. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I should have done it back up. Well, it was also like I
could you change the URL? That's really the question.
Well, I had the domain name NJ teacher salary and NJ like police salary.com or something. The whole point of it was like how SEO, can I create something?
Oh.
So, like, the whole website was designed to be, like, super SEO'd, but programmatically generated so that, like, you just threw a database at it and it did it.
Yeah.
It was fun to make. In hindsight, I wish, like, I didn't let the domain name expire because I'd be making, like, $20 a month. Well, but then I'd have to update the data. Like, the data now is, like, 8 years old or 9 years old.
Right, but, like, all you would have to do is just write something that would go to the same data sources and then
they changed their agreement. I forget how many pages it was, but it scraped like hundreds of thousands of pages of data.
Yeah.
So like it went from like them saying like, oh yeah, like the data just being there to I think they realized like why do we have all this traffic like all of a sudden out of nowhere. And
you gotta like do it piecemeal, slowly over time.
They changed the site so periodically it wouldn't give you search results if you did searches. Mm-hmm. So like it tried to break the scraping tools I was using, and then they had an agreement that would pop up periodically that said that you're not using automated tools to take the data. So then I was like, well, the gig's up. Like, I didn't want to inconvenience someone else because you know that's like a dick move. But no, I mean What was super interesting was, like, I calculated, like, this, and I mean, it didn't figure out healthcare costs, but just like the pure dollar amount that they were paying, like, people. And then I was working on another site where I was taking, when they reassess property values, and I was finding the most expensive houses in towns and saying that this house's reassessment cost 1.2 teachers or something like that. And my whole point was to, like, make something not SEO, but like that would really piss people off when you find out that like the largest house in your town costed like a bus driver's job or something like that. But then that got too complicated because they displayed the data in a weird way that made it impossible to scrape. Well, probably possible, just not for... I didn't want to do OCR or something weird. Anyway, I really enjoy scraping data. It's fun.
So I'm actually expecting some people to have arrived at this point, I believe. Oh. IANA General Inquiries. To whom it may concern. To whom it may concern. This is an automatically generated message to notify you that we have received your request and that it has been recorded in our ticketing system with a reference number of 1. Yeah, I'm not going to say that on.
You're legit now.
There's no need to reply this message right now. IANA staff will review your message shortly. If this message is in reply to a previously submitted ticket, it is possible that the previous ticket has been marked as closed. As we review this ticket, we will also review previous correspondence and take appropriate action.
Uh-oh.
To expedite... I've never contacted them before. I'm in the clear. To expedite processing and ensure that our staff can view the full history of this request, please make sure you include the following exact text in the subject line in all future correspondence on this issue.
Do they use request tracker?
You can also simply reply on this message as this tag is already in the subject line.
Is it an RT ticket? Can I see what it looks like?
Yeah. I'll trust you to know what the ticket number is.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's like a open source ticketing system that like old school people use.
Good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Old school.
Old school.
Like a lot of new people use like the fancy newfangled ticketing systems that like have like fancy GUIs and like, you know, like you could take over people's computers. Request tracker was like interacted through email and that was that. I mean, it did have a web front end, but like the whole point was like email ticketing.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
That was its purpose.
Yeah.
Love RT.
So did you look at the ceremony running order?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
And they say what they do during the ceremony?
They said that it's typical.
Did you know about the key signing ceremonies for the internet?
I did not.
There are 14 people, only 3 of which you really need, that every 4 months sign the key that generates DNS authority for the entire internet.
Yeah, so you're going to be there for 3 hours, Bubbles.
It's worth it. I think it's worth it. Like, this might be better than witnessing the birth of my children.
Oh, come on, that's bullshit.
It takes as long.
And we're all going to get to virtually watch it.
Well, yeah. Do I want to ruin the surprise, though, by watching it before it really happens?
Oh, no, I meant when Bubbles is on site.